Hebrews chapter 11, roll call of faith, and we've seen men and ladies as we've looked at this chapter. We've seen men and ladies in that God had inspired to put in this chapter that had lived by faith. And like I've said many times, there's some that I wouldn't have put in here, amen? And others that I would have chose to put in here, but God had His reasonings of why He chose who to put in here. And so tonight, we're going to look at David tonight. But the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, look in verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped." I believe we've seen that this morning, didn't we? "Quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. And they were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these also, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." You can be seated tonight. As we've studied this chapter and looked at this chapter and preached on it, through here, we could see that they were great men and great ladies of faith. And I believe all of them probably were in God's mind and God's eyes. He wouldn't have put them in here in this chapter. But as I read this chapter, I'm just always reminded that we're to be a people that lives by faith. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is in verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now if you go back to verse 1, you'll find out that the Bible said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." There's just times in our life that we're just going to have to take God at His word. Amen. You're just going to have to trust God for what you know His book says and believe Him and just take Him at His word. You say, "Well, I feel." Hey, I ain't worried about feelings. Feelings come and go, but faith in His word will help you and that get through your Christian life. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, if you run on feelings, you're nothing no more than a balloon. And I'm going to preach on this someday. You're no more than a balloon that gets blowed up. And you can take one pin and pop it and become deflated. But when you're trusting in God and in His Word, it takes a lot to deflate that Christian that's serving Him. Amen. And so I encourage you in that to live by faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How do we gain our faith? We gain our faith and that from the word of God. Thank God for that tonight, that He's given us a book and that to live by. But as we look in the text scripture, the Bible said here in verse 32, as it talked about these men, it said, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and Samson, Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." And so we've come all the way down in that to David, but it tells us in verses 33, 34, and verse 35 what these men done. It said, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms." They went out and they fought and they won kingdoms. Said they wrought righteousness and obtained promises. Ain't that a good thing? Amen. Obtained the promises and that of God. Stop the mouth of lions. Reckon who that was. Reckon who that was. I can tell you who it was. There's two over there. By the way, if you look at that, one was Daniel down there in the den of lions. But the other was David, wasn't it? Did he not catch a bear and a lion by the beard and kill them? And so we know that they stopped the mouth of lions. The Bible says they quenched the violence of fire. Reckon who that was. We looked at them this morning, didn't they? Escaped the edge of the sword and out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Ain't that what Gideon done? If you read back in the book of Judges over there, the Bible said that they were hot, faint, yet pursuing. Boy, I tell you, when I get tired and wore out spiritually, and I'm going to tell you, if you ever pastored a Baptist church, you'll do that. Amen. You'll get wore out spiritually. And I dare say this, you don't even have to pastor a Baptist church to get wore out spiritually. But I tell you, there comes those times that you'll do that, that you'll get wore out spiritually, but we must keep on going for the Lord. Said, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I mean, time and time again, these men fought and fought. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Boy, I tell you, in the Old Testament over there, Elijah and Elisha both raised some young men there, and that from the dead, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Hey, can I tell you that Jeremiah and that received torture? They had him in the stocks at one time, put him down there in the very bottom, and that of the prison. If you'll read the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, I believe they had it up to here on him one time. He was about to drown in there in that muck and mire, and Baruch come by and lifted him up out of that thing. Why? Because of what he was preaching. That's what got him in trouble. But I want to look tonight, with God being our helper, real quick. Just got three things tonight on David. Tonight I'm really going to look at David before he ever become king. Want to look at three things. Take your Bible tonight and go to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now most of you would know what 1 Samuel chapter 17 is about. It's about a man by the name of Goliath that comes against the children of Israel. Now while you're going over there, can I say this tonight? If you look at David's life, if you look at David's life in 1 and 2 Samuel and look at it in the book of Psalms that he wrote, I mean, the Bible said itself that he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And so tonight, when we look at David's life, he was a very unique man. He was anointed as king early in life. If you go back to 1 Samuel 16, you'll find that David comes out on the scene when Samuel goes down to Jesse's house, and God said, I'm going to send you down there to anoint a new king and that over Israel. And so Jesse and then promenades all his sons in front of Samuel out there. And boy, I'm telling you, that first one come through, and Samuel said, that's him. That's him. And God spoke from heaven and said, nope, that ain't him, Samuel. Said, you look on the outside, but I look on the heart. And so he promenaded all seven of them boys in front, or six of them in front of Samuel. And Samuel didn't know what to do. God said, that ain't him. That ain't him. And he said, you got another. And you know what? Jesse said, I got one more boy out there in the field, but he's tending to the sheep. Here's what Samuel said. Samuel said, we're not going to sit down until he gets here. Amen. And boy, I believe Samuel knew who he was and who was coming. And so here comes David in that day. Can you imagine a young man, probably 16, 17, 18 years old. Here stands the man of God, the prophet of God. He's standing there with a horn of oil, and he's anointing you and that to be king over the nation of Israel. Well, I'm telling you, here was a man that loved God. I believe David, as a young man, loved God.
Amen.
He was anointed as king early in his life. He stayed on the run for part of it because King Saul wanted to kill him. But God finally made David king. But I want to look in 1 Samuel 17, preaching on the thought now of the roll call of faith with David. Look in verse 12 of 1 Kings chapter 17. Goliath has already come out. He's already cursed God. He's cursing God in the morning and in the evening. And he's cursing the army of Israel. And so the Bible says in verse 12, now David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. I was right the first time. And the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul. And 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. They need to remember that. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the 1,000, of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. So you can imagine, as David come down through there, he's going to see his brothers. This army is fighting as he comes by the way. And out in that valley out through there, you've got each side coming against each other. And the Bible said right here, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from before him and were sore afraid. What were those words that he spake? If you go back and you look in the first part of the chapter, you'll find out they said, you send me a man down here, and if he beats me, then we'll be your servants, and if I beat him, you'll be ours. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Let me stop right here and just say for just a second. Now you understand what's going on. Goliath has stepped back out on the scene. They've been in battle for the day. And Goliath has stepped back out on the scene, and he is defying the nation of Israel. He's cursing them, and David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine down here that's saying what he's saying, and nobody's going down there to cut his head off? And David, when he says, what's going to happen to whoever defeats this Philistine? So they tell him, said, the king will make your family free, he'll give you riches, and give you his own daughter, and that to be your wife. And so as he comes down through there, Eliab, his oldest brother, is there. And the Bible said that his anger was kindled against David. Wonder why it was kindled against David. You ever think about that? Eliab was that first one that got passed by, wasn't he, in the chapter before. Samuel standing out there in 1 Samuel 16, and Eliab walks by, and Samuel said, that ain't him. I kind of think sometimes that Eliab was jealous in that of David. I have no doubt that he was, because there was no reason and that for him to do what he done. As a matter of fact, he belittled the job that he had. He said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" God loves shepherds. All you have to do is go back and look through the Bible, and God loves shepherds. He likens us to sheep. He likens my job and that to being a shepherd. Listen, he called Jesus the chief shepherd in the book of Hebrews. Listen, God loves shepherds. And so he said right here, "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart." See, he had him wrong. He was trying to rebuke him. He said, "You've come down here that thou mightest see the battle." And I love David right here in verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" I mean, listen, not only is Eliab probably jealous and that of David, but he ain't got enough guts to go out there and face that giant. Every one of them's running, hid in their tent when that Philistine stood out down there and that giant showed up. Nobody wanted to fight. Hey, shame on us when the giant shows up and we don't want to fight. Amen. Now listen, I understand fighting will get you hurt, but I do like a good fight. Amen. I want you to look right here. So David, it said that he turned from him toward another and he ignored him and spake the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. Let me tell you what happens in the next few verses. They tell King Saul what David said. It said David wants to go fight him. Saul said, "You can't go." Said he's been. He said, "You're just a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth." And David said, "Look," he said, "I've killed a bear and a lion when they come in." And he said, "This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had divided the armies of the living God." Pick up in verse 40. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook." Reckon why he wanted five. I think I've showed y'all this before, ain't it? He had four of the brothers, didn't he? Amen. Amen. He wasn't planning to miss four times. As a matter of fact, he got five stones for five giants. Now, you know what that tells me? David knew that he was going to hit that giant on the first shot.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? He knew God was going to have to guide that thing. Yeah. But you know, them Jews over there today, they're still good with a rock. Amen.
Amen.
They can still throw a rock at you. Listen, I want you to look right here. And the Bible said that he gathered up five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now listen, I'm preaching on the roll call of faith. Stay with me now. "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh into the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Now think about this. David is probably not a great big feller, and Goliath, his head, would almost reach the ceiling right down here. That's a 10-foot ceiling, if I ain't mistaken. And listen, Goliath would have to, he would have to duck real good to get in here. And so when he stood upright, his head would almost hit that ceiling standing right down there. Now can you imagine the sight in your mind? You've got this little fella out here that is a young man. He's a teenager. The Bible said he's but a youth. And he is running toward this giant. And this giant is cussing him and disdaining him, and he's threatening him and said, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh into the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." And then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, but what's this? And with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Well, what a great day when the world learns that right there. not only that there's a God in Israel, but there's a God in this world. Amen. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You can go on reading that the Lord, he did that. I want you to see something about David and the giant. I've already made mention that David was a young man, but I want you to see right here that David wasn't afraid of the battle.
Amen.
David is 17, 18, 19 years old. At the best, I'd say 20. And David is not afraid of the battle. He's not afraid of his brothers. I mean, listen, he didn't quieten down when Eliab, his eldest brother, had something to say. He didn't say a word to him. All he said was, "Is there not a cause?" And then ignored him. I'd say David had been living with that about all his life. Amen. Some of you younger brothers know how your older brothers Amen. Was. Amen. And so you find right here that David was not afraid of his brother, but he was not afraid and that to go face the battle. He knew that there was a cause. He knew that there was a reason that somebody had to fight. But he also knew that the Lord would take care of him. You know why I keep pastoring? You know why I keep pastoring? I'm looking at it. I mean, I get aggravated when people don't do right and people won't be faithful and all those things. But I was telling Kelly today, we was talking about us. I was thinking the other day, you know why I keep pastoring? Because there's some of you out there that need one.
Amen.
And want one.
Try.
Amen?
Amen.
Just because people come to church here does not mean I'm their pastor. Just because they're a member here does not mean I'm their... You've got to let me be your pastor. Amen. And so right here we find that David, he's going out to fight the battle. He knew that there was a cause, and he knew that the Lord would take care of him. How do you know that he knew that thing? As a matter of fact, he got it over there in verse 35, and he talked in verse 34 and verse 35, he talked about that bear and that lion, and I love what he said. "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." David was something else.
Amen.
Remember what I said at the very beginning? He's a unique man, wasn't he? Let me ask you something today. How many of us would want to face a bear in the line with all you got's a sling or a knife in your hand?
There you go.
Now think about it. And we ain't talking about carrying a 30-30 or something like that. I'm talking about, I know it's probably bigger than that pocket knife. Boy, wouldn't that be something to face a bear with that? But I mean, hey, listen. How many of us want to do that? And so here he is now, David. Hey, listen, he knows he's faced that bear and that lion. But listen, now he's put on the spotlight. Now the spotlight is put on him, and folk are looking at him, and he is going out to fight. But you know what? I don't think David was worried. Because if you look in verse 45, 46, and 47, David is taking some things that he knows that will work. Use what you know that'll work. You know what'll work? The Word of God will work. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You know what'll get folks saved? The Bible.
Right.
Amen. Preaching of the Bible will get them saved. Word of God will work. Prayer will work. I've been thinking. I was just thinking the other day, I ain't fasted in a while. And I was thinking, boy, it's about time that I need to do that. Need to pray and fast. Hey, some things that even in my own life that just needs a little work. And it's going to come by prayer and fasting. But I want you to look right here. The Bible said that David goes out and here's what he tells that Philistine. He said, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." So he had the right drive, and he had the right motive, and he had the right means, and he certainly had the right mode, didn't he? What do you mean? He was trusting the Lord to see him through. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the roll call of faith. David simply believed God. He believed that God was going to see him through this battle. As a matter of fact, he said, "The Lord is going to deliver you into my hand." Well, I bet that old giant didn't think much of that. And he said, he's going to do it because he wants those in the earth to know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Well, we've got to understand that. It's not my battle, but it's his battle. I'm just the servant and the one who's trying to fight for him, the one that's engaged in the battle, but it's his fight tonight. And so David goes out, and we know the story. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, the only place it's uncovered, that the stone sunk in his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Again, let me say this tonight, for y'all that's not heard me say this, it's amazing that David hit him in the forehead and he fell forward. He fell forward. He got on his face before the God of Israel. He may not have wanted to, but boy, when that stone comes singing in there and only had one place to go, which was right here, he was armored up everywhere else.
Amen.
I could see God guiding that thing. And he falls forward on his face. And David draws his own sword off of Goliath and cuts his head off. And so we see a man that has great faith. But I want you to take your Bible and go to the 1 Samuel chapter 21. By this time, David is on the run from King Saul. And King Saul is jealous over David.
Amen.
Them women got to singing their song out there that Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000. And King Saul saw that the hand of God was upon David. And so David is on the run from King Saul. As a matter of fact, he stops there and sees the priest, him and the men that's with him. They eat some showbread. As a matter of fact, this is the place where David gets the sword of Goliath back. He said, "Do you have any weapons here?" to the priest. And he said, "No, but the only one we've got is the sword of Goliath." And he said, "Give it me." And he said, "There's not another like it," there in verse 9. Don't you look in verse 10. "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, 'Is not this David the king of the land?'" Now let me stop right here for just a second. Was David king yet? Nope. David been anointed king.
Amen.
But David was not king of the nation of Israel. But then people knew, didn't they? It's amazing how word leaks out, ain't it? They said, "Is not this David the king of the land?" They recognized who he was. Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, "Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Now watch this right here in verse 12. "And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And then said Achish unto his servants, 'Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" And so David, as he is coming, as he's on the run from Saul, he says in his mind and in his heart, he says, "I'm going to go over and back to Achish, king of Gath. I'll find me a place to rest and hide out." But when he gets over there, they begin to talk about how great David is. They begin to talk about David has killed his 10,000s. David is the king of the land. And right here, he begins to think that his life might be in danger. And the Bible said in verse 12 that David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. That's a far cry from a man four chapters ago that was facing a giant that was almost 10 feet tall and went out there with five smooth stones ready to fight, and now David is afraid of the king. Something has happened. David is on the run from King Saul. David goes down here and out to find some relief, no doubt, and he begins to fear man. Proverbs 29 and verse 25 says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. Can I tell you tonight that fear robs you of your faith?
Amen.
Amen. Fear, hey listen, you can't have faith when you got fear. And right here I believe that David had fear. And so he's robbed of his faith and now he's full of doubt. He said, well, preacher, you wasn't there. I wasn't there. I agree with that. I might have done the same thing. I'm not saying that I wouldn't. And I'm not trying to beat up on David because I think most of the time that I probably wouldn't have got into Hebrews 11 anyway. And I know that God put him in there for a reason. But what I'm trying to show you right here, that this man that ended up in Hebrews 11 who fought the giant had a moment of when he didn't trust God. That's what I'm trying to show you tonight. The Bible said that he was sore afraid. Can I tell you, there's none of us that they're singing a song tonight that Saul's killed his thousands and we've killed our 10,000s. Ain't nobody out there singing a song like that about us tonight. And this man right here is so afraid of the king of Gath. And so he's been robbed and that of his faith. As a matter of fact, he goes in and feigns himself and that to be mad. Can you imagine David as he goes in? He don't want the king of Gath to kill him or to try to take him. He goes in and he's just scrabbling on the doors. He's letting spit run down his face into his beard. And he's playing the part and that of a madman. He's gone crazy, if you'd let me say that. And I mean that with all respect tonight. But Achish said, have I need of a madman? He said, that you brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So he lets him go. This man who was afraid was found in the roll call of faith. Can I tell you that we find ourselves like David sometimes,
amen,
if we ain't careful,
amen,
that we'll begin to fear some things, whether physically or whether spiritually, and we get afraid and our faith gets weak. Does your faith get weak? My faith gets weak. Is God going to come by? Is God going to show up? Don't even consider the Lord. I mean, nowhere do we find that the Lord told David to do that. And again, I'm not trying to beat up on him by no means, because I might have done the same thing or done worse. But all I'm saying is that a man that was feigning to be mad, God put him over on the roll call of faith. So David is being chased by Saul. Verse 22, he ends up in the cave of Adullam. And some 400 men, and by the time it's over with, some 600 men have resorted to David to be their captain. He's on the run and he ends up in the land of the Philistines. And so they put him up, even give him a little city over there for him to stay in. And by the time we get to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and David is going to go out, I believe in the prior chapter, in chapter 29, he's going to go out and he's going to go out with Achish and fight against the nation of Israel. And so those of the Philistines are worried that David is going to get out there in the middle of the battle and then turn against them and fight them instead of fighting Israel, so they won't let him go. And so in verse 30, he returns home back to this town that they've given by the name of Ziklag. And it says it came to pass when chapter 30, When David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And taken the women and captives that were therein. Now let me say this. Sometimes I wonder if this happened because David had went over there and joined himself with the Philistines.
Yeah.
The Philistines are the sworn enemies.
Amen.
And that of God.
Right.
The Philistines are the one that David in 1 Samuel 17 was going down there to defeat. And now he has joined himself and that to his very enemy.
Yeah.
Now think about that for just a minute. How much faith do you have if you join yourself to your enemy?
Yeah, there you go.
Just asking a question now. You say, you might have done the same thing. I might have. But I'm just saying, look at it. So they come through and they burned it with fire. And they'd taken women and taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and all his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. I believe this right here was the grace of God. What do you mean? Listen, a lot of times they would have come in, destroyed it all, burned her to the ground, and moved on. But what was so graceful about this was nobody was killed.
Right.
All they done was come in and spoiled the town, took all the women and children captive, and away they went. Verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Jehanaham the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now let me stop right here and look at David's life when Ziklag gets burned. David comes back. He no doubt has been ready to go to battle. He's going to go battle with Israel. And I think God stopped that right there. David had no business in that to go fight against the nation of Israel. Out of all the times that he could have killed King Saul, he said, I'll not touch God's anointing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not going to touch him. I'm going to let God handle that thing. And when God wants me to be king, he'll make me king. And so right here we find that he was going to go fight, but they wouldn't let him. Now I believe God intervened right there. And God was graceful that his wives and his children was not killed. But if you look right here, it said in verse 6 that David was distressed. Why? Because the people spake of stoning him. It's always the leader's fault. Somebody's got to take the blame. The buck's got to stop with somebody. Now, wasn't it Harry Truman? Wasn't it President Harry Truman that had a sign sitting on his desk that said the buck stops here? I believe he did. And you find that somebody has to take the blame or the credit. You run a business, Nick. You either get the blame or the credit, don't you? If it's going good, boy, all the credit comes to Nick. If it's going bad, all the blame comes to Nick. Boy, when the church is doing good, I'm a-looking good. But boy, when it's a-doing bad, I ain't a-looking so good. And listen, right here, David, and no doubt these men are distraught. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. My stuff's gone. My wife's gone. My children's gone. And they're talking about killing him. I want you to look what David does. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Wasn't nobody else going to be there to encourage him. David was going to have to encourage himself. Can I tell you, there's going to come times in life, listen to me now, because this is going to be real helpful one day. There's going to come a time when nobody's going to be there to encourage you spiritually. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're just going to have to trust the Lord. You're going to have to get your Bible out. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to sing that song in the dark hours at that of the night, friend, and just praise the Lord and have faith in Him anyway that God's going to come through. Nothing that I preach is going to help you. Nothing that we sing in the choir, no amount of special singing is going to be able to help you. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Done it several times. So David encourages himself in the Lord. So if you look in verse 7, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired. Now he's encouraged himself in the Lord, but now he's inquiring of the Lord. He's talking to him, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Verse 9. So David went. David believed God, didn't he? You got a man in 1 Samuel 17, believes God so much that he's going to go out and fight the giant. 1 Samuel chapter, what was it that we seen there? 21. David is worried that King Achish is going to kill him, that of Gath. And so he formulates, or what would you say, he feigns an act to be a crazy man. Why? Because of fear. And it was a lack of faith. And here, by 1 Samuel chapter 30, his faith has been restored, and that in the Lord, and he's ready to go fight the enemy again. Who's that sound like? Who's it sound like? Does that sound like you? Sounds like me? I'll be honest with you. From time to time, my faith is on top of the world, and I'll face any giant that's out there. As one fella said, I'd take on hell with a rotten grapevine with a squirt pistol. Man. Amen. It's the way I feel sometimes in my faith. Do you know that there's other days that I'm like David and want to play the madman? My faith is gone. Huh? My faith is weak. My faith seems to be non-existent. And I don't even know how to trust God. Wondering if the sun's even going to come up in the morning. Have you been there? I don't know if you have, but I know that I have. So the Lord said, go, pursue, and you'll overtake. If you go to 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, you'll find that King Saul dies, and David is made king. And he continues in his faith. But let me tell you something about David. You ever think about this? Out of all the men that God put in 1 Samuel chapter 11, that David was an adulterer, that David was a murderer, and God still put him in the roll call of faith.
Amen.
Ain't that something? Remember what I've told you? They spoke over there that I wouldn't have put in there.
Amen.
But God did. Listen tonight. I just wanted to show you them three little times right there in David's life that I'm afraid in my life that I get like that. I'll have faith one day, weak faith the next, and my faith is back up. Are you like that? Well, I'm just asking. I mean, our faith gets weak. And you know the thing about it is, the Lord knows our faith's going to get weak. That don't mean He likes it about us, but He understands our faith is going to get weak. I mean, even His disciples came by one day, I believe it was in the book of Luke, and said, Lord, increase our faith. Just give me a little more faith. I just need a little more. Romans 10, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you know what? If we're going to win the battle and fight, if we're going to win it all, we're going to have faith to get it done. Let's bow our heads tonight. I find myself like David a lot of times. Men, if you'll come tonight, let's come and get a verse of invitation. Maybe tonight your faith is weak. Maybe you're struggling to trust the Lord. I don't know what you need from Him. I don't know what it is tonight that you're desiring from the Lord. But I know He can help you tonight.
David fought Goliath, but four chapters later, he was playing the madman because he was afraid. Nine chapters later, he's back on top of the world again. Even though folk were against him and talking about killing him, he was still trusting in the Lord. His faith was restored to him. So tonight, I'm just simply asking you, does your faith ever get weak? David was a great man. God, I mean, the Bible said that when he talked to King Saul over there, when Samuel did, said God hath chosen him a man after his own heart. Talking about David. And David was a man after God's own heart. And David's faith still got. All you need to do to see David's faith gets weak is read the book of Psalms. And you'll find out that his faith gets weak over and over and over again. And it has to be restored and it has to be renewed. And see, friend, we see that and do that ourselves with the Word of God tonight. I hope your faith is strong tonight. Mine gets weak along the way. And I get like David. I'm ready to fight, and then I falter and get weak faith. But the Lord helps us.